As we've been looking at the book of Proverbs so far, I think the main message has basically been that all of us have need for God's wisdom in our lives. But the question is, how is it that we can receive this wisdom? And what are some of the benefits of being wise? In verse 5, Solomon tells us that we will understand what it is to fear the Lord, to have a right attitude of deep reverence and respect for God and His power, and that we will attain true knowledge about God if we follow the conditions listed in verses 1 to 4. So in verses 1 to 4, Solomon tells us how wisdom can be found. To get wisdom then, what do we need to do? Well, let's have a look at verse 1. First of all, we need to receive or to accept God's words. Whatever it is that God teaches us through the Bible, we need to be willing to accept what God is saying. God doesn't deceive people. He tells the truth. In the beginning, it was the word of God that brought light and order and life into the world. And as we respond positively to God's word today, we too will experience light instead of darkness, order instead of chaos, and life instead of death. So we need to receive God's word and to be willing to open our hearts to do that. In the second half of verse 1, Solomon tells us that we need to treasure God's commandments. God's word is valuable. It's just like a precious treasure, and we need to accumulate as much of it as we possibly can. Now, imagine for a moment if our church were to advertise that everyone that came to church next week would receive 10 kilograms of gold. What do you reckon? We'd probably go broke, but 10 kilograms of gold, if we worked that out in terms of how much that would be worth today, we're talking about $500,000. Now imagine, we were advertising that. 10 kilograms of gold for anyone who turned up at church and was present here with us. How many people do you reckon would turn up next week? I reckon there'd be some sceptical people, but there would be other people who would try their luck. They'd probably turn up here, and so I reckon, if we were advertising like that, this place would be packed to the rafters. There'd be people trying to push their way through the crowded doorways, and there'd be blokes hanging out the windows just sort of to stick their head in and be here so they would qualify for the 10 kilograms of gold in order that they'd be able to receive their little bit of treasure, which would actually set them up for life. But we're not advertising that here, are we? We're not into physical wealth of this world. In fact, we have something that we believe is more precious than 10 kilograms of gold. Isn't it true that the word of God is more precious than silver, of greater value than gold? Where is everyone then? Where are they? Why is it that they're not here? And why is it that sometimes we're not excited about coming to church? Or perhaps we find it boring being here. It shouldn't be like that. The key to light, order, and life in this universe, that's what's on offer here. The secrets of the universe, that's what we're talking about here. Not just routine, not just duty, not just entertainment or friendships. We're talking about God and His word. God's words, His commands, His wisdom, His understanding, His true perspective on life and this world, this is what's on offer. But what are you doing with all of this? Solomon tells us that we need to open up our ears and to open up our hearts. We need to open up our ears and to pay attention. We need to open up our hearts and to soak up the instruction that comes from God. Solomon also tells us that we need to cry out to wisdom, which means, in effect, to cry out in prayer to God, asking God to teach us, asking God to give us wisdom. Because the Bible tells us if we humbly come before God and ask God to teach us, he will. In verse 4, Solomon tells us that we need to seek wisdom like we're searching for silver or hidden treasure. Now, back in the second half of the 19th century, the Australian population rapidly increased as people from overseas, including lots of people from China, flocked to New South Wales and Victoria in the hope of striking it rich. What were they looking for? They were looking for gold, weren't they? In 1851, within 2 weeks after gold was found by Edward Hargraves near Bathurst, more than 2,000 miners had flocked to the area round about there just to try and find gold. 2,000 within the space of 2 weeks. And 10 years after the start of the gold rush, the population of New South Wales had increased by 78%. Just think about that. It was gold rush time. Everyone wanted to be in on the action. And the biggest find of this gold rush was the 286-kilogram nugget found by Bernhard Holtermann, which unfortunately wasn't all gold. It only contained 57 kilograms of gold in that 286 kilograms. But I'm assuming Holtermann would have been quite happy with his find. Seek and you shall find. The key to finding wisdom is searching for it, asking God for it. If you seek wisdom in the right place, then you will find it. If you genuinely come to God, humbly seeking his instruction, his wisdom, then he promises that he will teach you. He will give you wisdom. He will help you to understand more. In verse 6, Solomon says, "The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." God is the source of wisdom. Wisdom, according to the Bible's definition, is whatever it is that God speaks, whatever it is that God shares. Wisdom comes from God's mouth. And therefore, in order to be wise, what do we need to do? We need to come to God and to listen to his instruction. And if you come to him and learn wisdom from him, God's word will change you. You'll start living the way that God wants you to. You'll start to be upright in your behavior. And spiritually, you'll be wholesome and healthy. And this will be evident in a godly way of life. Instead of following the ways of the world, you'll be following the correct way, the way defined by God and revealed through his word. Now, according to verses 7 and 8, when God's word changes us, then this will make us successful. We'll be successful. Not according to how this world defines success, by how many trophies won, or houses owned, or the amount of money in the bank, or how many records we've sold as a singer, or anything like that, but success as God defines it, by us becoming ever increasingly more and more like Jesus. By us coming closer to being the true image that God originally created us to be. And as we travel on this journey following Jesus, God promises us that he will be a shield for us. God will be our shield, protecting us. He will be with us to guard us, to keep us safe. He promises that no external force will be able to separate us from his love and protection as we are walking along that pathway. And in addition, as we receive wisdom from God, this means that we will know what is right, what's correct, according to God's judgment. And that will mean that our life, despite its difficulties, will be smooth. We'll be able to navigate the problems of life efficiently. Having wisdom on your side is like the difference between running along a level track compared to running up a hill. God will be with you to help you through the difficulties of life. Solomon also says in verses 10 and 11 that when wisdom comes into our heart, knowledge will be pleasant to our soul, and discretion and understanding will guard and protect us. Now, wisdom protects us in many different ways. But here in this chapter, Solomon identifies two particular ways in which wisdom can protect us. Firstly, in verses 12 through to 15, wisdom protects us from getting involved with perverted people, shady characters, evildoers, and crooked types and other kinds of deviants. That's just summarising basically how Solomon puts it. Now, we know that there are always temptations around. There are always temptations around for us to do the wrong thing. And sometimes in life, we can bump into people who want us to join them in doing the wrong thing. But knowing from God the truth about how this universe works and what constitutes true success, this can give us the strength to reject any such temptations. And the second situation that wisdom can protect us from is described in verses 16 through to 19. In these verses, Solomon describes an adulteress, a woman who betrays her husband and the marriage covenant with its vows that she promised to her husband, with God as her witness. Now, here we need to understand the definition of an adulterer or an adulteress in the Bible. You know, when we who speak English typically hear about this concept of adultery, we normally think of sexual infidelity within marriage. And that's true, but from a biblical perspective, it's a little bit broader than that. From the biblical perspective, just sleeping with someone is enough to form a one-flesh relationship. If you sleep with someone, even without getting married to that person, then, in effect, a one-flesh relationship has begun. This can be seen in the Bible. When something like that happened, it was normally expected that the man in question would have to pay the bride price to the family of the woman who was involved, and it was also expected that he would marry her, unless the father didn't give permission. From this we can see that if you sleep with someone, even without getting married to that person, and then go out and sleep with someone else, then in terms of the Bible's definition of adultery, that is adultery. As far as God is concerned, adultery or sexual immorality is a serious matter. Being seduced by her smooth-sounding words, how many men have fallen into the trap of an adulteress, or vice versa? What have they done? For a few moments of pleasure, they in effect have sold out their souls. Solomon tells us that interacting sexually with someone who isn't rightfully yours is like sleeping in a house that lies over a great big sinkhole, a sinkhole that leads directly to death. And Solomon says, no one who goes into her will ever return, nor will they obtain the paths of life. Unfaithfulness on the sexual level is very dangerous. How can you be faithful to God while being unfaithful to your spouse? Now, I remember the first time when I visited Vietnam. I like travelling light, so I went over there for 6 weeks with just a little backpack. And because it was a little backpack, I didn't have enough room for a full English Bible. But I'm glad that I had a little Gideon's Bible, and some of you perhaps have received one at high school or something like that. And this little Bible contained the New Testament, the Psalms, and Proverbs. And I'm glad, very glad, that I had space for it in my backpack. Because I did become a target. Now, I'm not really sure the reason, although I suspect that for sometimes girls in poorer countries, seeing a foreigner, maybe that's like a ticket to life overseas in a rich country, a chance for them to escape a harsh existence. Whatever the case, I'm glad that at that time I had access to verses like what we're reading today from the book of Proverbs. It gave me the strength to stay strong and to avoid a potentially dangerous situation. Wisdom, therefore, can protect us from both the shady and the seedy side of life. And this is where the extremely high value of wisdom can be seen. God's word keeps us on the straight and narrow. It helps us move in the right direction. Without God's word and wisdom, we'd be trapped in a lifestyle of wickedness. We'd just be following everyone else. The problem with that is that according to God's standards of justice, as Solomon points out in verse 22, the consequences are severe. In the end, the wicked will be cut off from the land. Following the foolishness of the world leads to wickedness, which in turn leads us to being cut off from the presence of God. But contrast that to the situation of the righteous, to those who have learnt from God, who have the wisdom of God in their hearts and who therefore are responding to his way. Also in verse 21 it tells us that those who are righteous, those who are morally and spiritually healthy, they will dwell in the land and they'll remain in it. Friends, from this we can see that wisdom ultimately is the difference between death and life. The chief benefit of wisdom for us is that it makes us live. And Solomon wants us to understand that. Overall, the benefits of wisdom are tremendous, and they're ultimately eternal in scope. So therefore, I encourage all of you here today to pursue wisdom, to search out God's word by taking up the opportunities that God gives you to listen and to learn, to search out God's truth just as if you were seeking out hidden treasure or nuggets of gold. Finding wisdom is worth it because God's wisdom is much more precious than tons of gold.